it's Canzano. Thanks for making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe and leave us some feedback. Also, the podcast is brought to you by Multnomah Medical Clinic, dedicated to providing breakthrough, non-invasive, drug-free solutions to ED problems. Call Multnomah Medical Clinic at 503-899-4199 or visit them online at multnomahmedical.com.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast,
a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest is the guy when it comes to the Pac-12 conference and coverage of the conference. If you want the breaking news, you follow John Wilner of the Bay Area News Group. You hear him on this show regularly. I appreciate him making time for us on such a busy day. 3 o'clock today, the CEO group will meet. 5 o'clock, expected to make a announcement. Wilner, I think we disagree a little bit on whether it's going to be October 31st or November 7th. What do you know? What's the latest?
Well, I think that there's a chance that they will be a couple of teams playing on October 31st. I don't know if I'd bet on it, but I think that that is definitely on the table. They would like to make some kind of splash, kind of get back on the stage with everybody else as soon as they can. Some teams are not going to be ready to play on October 31st, but even if they get one or two games, they're at least, you know, back, getting some attention, whereas, you know, if they wait till November 7th to start the season, that's 2 weeks that the Big Ten would have been back and the Pac-12 would have just been sitting on the sideline.
Wilner, the discussion, what does it center around? What do you think, if we're putting together an agenda, what are some of those bullet points on the agenda?
Well, I think that one of the bullet points that might have been on the agenda last night, I think, may be moved down. Sounds like the California health officials have really signaled that they're willing to work with the schools on the cohort number, which is such an important thing, right? You have to have a big cohort number in order to be able to have a real practice. You can't do it if you can only have 12 players in a single group and that group can't interact with another group within 6 feet. So California is helping out, it sounds to me. The Colorado issue is curious. You know, Boulder County basically put everybody on a lockdown, ages 18 to 22. So we'll see what impact that has, because Colorado was one of the teams that wanted to play on the 31st. I'm guessing that Stanford has got some issues just about the fact that their campus is basically closed. Are they going to want to play football? But that seems to be it for me. From what I can see.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group with us. How much does the playoff frame this discussion? And let's just talk money to start. There's $400+ million that will go out, you know, to the individual conferences. Is this a factor? Can the Pac-12 draw on that college football playoff money if they're not playing football in front of the playoff selection?
Well, I don't know what would happen if the Pac-12 didn't play at all. My guess is that they wouldn't be entitled to their money. But I also think that because there are no minimums for the number of games that you need to play in order to qualify a team either for the playoff itself or for one of the other, you know, big bowls, I think the Pac-12 could send a 1-0 team, declare a 1-0 team its conference champion, have that team go play in one of the big bowls and collect its money. I think that the rules are that loose, but they do have to have some kind of season in order to be eligible for the money.
Wilner, the college football playoff, Oregon looked like it was the best candidate. The Ducks are without half their secondary, have to replace Justin Herbert, and also don't have Penei Sewell. Is there a shot that even if there's an undefeated Pac-12 team that they make the playoff, or should that not even be part of this discussion?
Well, I don't know that the presidents and chancellors really have factored that in at all to their thinking about, you know, what to do with the season. If I mean, it might depend on how many games get played too, right? I mean, if Oregon starts on October 31st, for instance, and can play 8 games, maybe they get in, right? If they don't start till November 7th, maybe that impacts them, right? I mean, it will also depend on how many games the other teams have played that are trying to get into the playoff, right? I think that if there's a deal where, say, Oregon is 8-0, but you got a 10-1 team, they'll probably favor the team that's played 11 games, right? But again, there's no rules for that either, and it is probably going to be very chaotic when it comes time to select those four.
Loudest voices in that room. You've got, you know, a newcomer like F. King Alexander at Oregon State. He came from LSU. But how, you know, who do you consider the louder voices in that Pac-12 CEO group circle?
Well, I mean, Michael Crow from ASU has proven himself over the years to be a fairly loud voice. You know, I have to think that Kirk Schultz from Washington State will probably speak up. He partly because, you know, he's got a football background. He is on the College Football Playoff board. He's the conference's representative to the board of managers. Robert Robbins at Arizona, who's a doctor, but has an SEC background. I could envision him speaking up. Carol Folt at USC. I don't know that we're going to get much from, the Bay Area presidents and chancellors. UCLA's Gene Block's quiet. We'll see. Philip DeStefano from Colorado, former chair of the CEO group. I think Colorado wants to play. And, you know, Michael Schill from Oregon is kind of, he's in charge of leading that discussion and trying to get some kind of consensus. I don't think they're going to need to have 12-0 vote, but I do believe they need 9.
You have the university presidents that, you know, generally like to present a unified front. I have surmised that it may be problematic for them if you know, some are ready to play and others aren't. Is there a way that they can both be unified and also stagger the start?
I think so. I mean, I think they're almost two different issues. Do you play or do you not play at all until next year? And if you do play, do you have to be staggered? I would imagine they're going to be 12-0 on playing. How much disagreement there is on the staggered aspect of it, that I don't know. You know, but basically for that, what you need is the presidents of the teams that can't play on Halloween need to be okay with some teams doing it. So there's really two different issues. I think they're going to play. I think that they will say it was a unanimous vote to play. What, you know, how the discussion goes with regard to staggered or unified, that's a different matter.
If some of the universities just are not comfortable, let's just use UCLA as an example. Let's just say that, hey, we're in California. We don't feel it's safe to play. We've got some administrative stuff that's going on in the background. Chip Kelly doesn't see his team as a playoff team. And he says, look, November 14th is our soonest that we feel that we can be safely on the field. How does that fly in the conference?
Boy, it'll be interesting to see how much UCLA or Stanford, any of the California schools, band together at all in terms of, not expressing some hesitation about playing at all or not playing until the 14th of November. I don't know how they can wait till the 14th of November, to be honest. I think that's, you know, if you're saying that in that room, then that means you're probably not going to be playing with everybody else. I don't know. You know, Stanford certainly, the fact that, you know, Cal and Stanford will like to kind of be in alignment on things because of that, you know, relationship. And certainly Cal and UCLA would want to be on alignment. So it could end up being, those three kind of together expressing some hesitation. But I think they're going to play, and I think that they've got the votes and that the other teams have got they've got the support of their presidents to get moving.
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group. I think this is a really important day for the conference and, you know, potentially one of the more significant days historically as they try to figure out what they stand for and when they're going to play. How does this Colorado development in Boulder County affect the discussion today?
You know, that's a great question. It certainly was. I don't think Colorado was caught by surprise, but, you know, I'm sure that a lot of folks within the league didn't see it coming. So Boulder County is basically saying no gatherings for ages 18 to 22. They've had some outbreaks with frats and sororities, and the case count is spiking in Boulder. So 2 weeks of no gatherings for ages 18 to 22, that's going to make it difficult for them to practice. I have to imagine they've got some contingency plans. I think it may make it tough for them to play on the 31st. We'll see. But even if they have to shut it down for 2 weeks, if they cut their ramp-up time from 6 to 5, they could be ready to play on November 7th. And Colorado is one of those teams that has been practicing pretty regularly under the 12-hour rule. So I think they could probably make that cut and be ready to go on the 7th.
This they're going to make this announcement. They're going to come out and, you know, they're going to say we're going to play games. I know no one's going to be happy with how the schedule breaks down, but in week one of a potential season, who's playing, who's not playing, if only some are playing on Halloween?
Well, the teams that would play on Halloween, I think, are the ones that have been, you know, able to do the most for these last 6 weeks. And that would mean teams that haven't had problems with the fires and the air quality, teams that haven't had the restrictions so that they've been able to practice, you know, under the 12-hour rule consistently, and they've had all their guys on campus and participating. To me, that means, you know, the Washington schools, the Mountain schools, although, you know, with Colorado's problem right now is a little bit of a wrench, but the Arizona schools, the Washington schools, Utah, I think those are more likely. USC could play on October 31st. There's no doubt about that. So they just need, you know, I just think from the image of the conference, if they could just get maybe a doubleheader on the 31st, right? Just get four out of your 12 teams to play that day. At least you're back. You know, you're back on the stage with everybody else.
I feel like, you know, the narrative on this conference is, you know, the story's been cast aside from, you know, getting back to play, because I do think that helps. Is there something else this conference can do between now and next season, 2021, that helps shift the narrative with the SEC, the Big Ten, the public at large?
Oh, boy. I mean, short of putting the team in the playoff, which is going to be awfully difficult unless something changes, you know, even a couple of good recruiting classes isn't going to really change it, because you got to change the narrative on the field, win some of those games. And they're not really going to have a chance to do that. So I don't really know that it's going to change at all. I think that it's set until they can make some progress and win some of those games that they haven't won in the past. You know, I haven't looked ahead to what the schedule is for Labor Day weekend of next year. But, you know, if there's some of those games, is Oregon playing Georgia? Is that next year or 2 years? I can't remember.
I think it is next year. I'm going to look it up. Right
that, you know, those are the kind of games they got to win. Right. And so they're not going to really have a chance this season unless something changes and they get active.
2022. Georgia's 2022. Next year's Fresno State at Ohio State. That's right. In Stony Brook. Got to get
gotcha.
Stony Brook.
Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, go win in Columbus, and that'll help.
Wilner, what has your life been like, you know, in covering this conference in, like, the last 2 weeks? You've done some tremendous reporting, ranging from the Quidel testing and the conference decision-making. You should be applauded for that. You've done a hell of a job.
Thank you. It has been very busy. It has been, busier than it is when they're actually playing games, because, you know, the range of issues that need to be covered to try to inform the public is pretty wide these days. And, you know, when there's a season, you're in that the rhythm of the weekly, you know, there's a weekly rhythm to it all, right? But now there's no rhythm. There's breaking news left and right. There's all these kind of issues that you've never had to address before. So it has been pretty wild, that's for sure.
Now, they're going to make this announcement probably around 5 o'clock. It'll go public. I'm sure it will leak before then. But 3 p.m. meeting, 5 p.m. media Zoom call. What you know, what is the, in between 3 and 5, it's just going to be sitting and waiting. I mean, how long will they take? Do you think they take the whole 2 hours, or do you think they just budgeted 2 hours and said that should do it?
My guess is that they think it'll take an hour, hour and a half. That would be my guess, right? I don't know the particulars of what has got to be presented to the full group of presidents and chancellors, and whether the medical advisors have to do that, or whether they already did it last week. You know, that's a layer if there's a medical presentation. And then there's going to be, you know, it'll just be some debate. I mean, I think, you know, a key point to this, too, is the within the board is that executive committee, right? And right now that committee is presidents and chancellors of Washington, Washington State, and Oregon. And I think those three schools want to play football. And I think that that will help carry the day if there is any kind of disagreement. And I also don't think that there's going to be a school if, you know, for whatever reason, the president doesn't want to play. I don't think anybody's going to stand in the way of the collective. But I do believe that group of the three, Kirk Schultz, Washington State, Anna Marie Cal State, Washington, and Michael Schill at Oregon, who's in charge, they're the ones that have to kind of guide this whole thing.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group. You're the best. We will talk to you down the road. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a ton for having me.
Good stuff from Wilner. A lot to digest there, and he and I disagree a little bit. I mean, he thinks there's a greater chance that they stagger and some play on October 31st and others play on November 7th. I think there's a better chance that they all play on November 7th and that there's a smaller chance that they stagger. I think they're going to want the appearance of uniformity and unity. The more I think about it, the more I talk about it, the more I look at the academia world, I don't think splintering and dividing is going to make them all feel good, even though it's what I would do, because we're doing that anyway in our own households. You know, Adriana may say, you know, I don't feel comfortable going out to a restaurant. And Judah and I can say, you know what, we're going to go eat and we're going to sit in a restaurant, and you've been mostly distancing and I've been mostly distancing, and we're going to feel good about it. That's just how we've lived in this pandemic. There's some troubling things going on nationally. You look around, you see outbreaks, you see cancellations, you see edicts from counties. There's a lot of that going on. Chad is in Iowa. Chad, welcome to the show. Go ahead. Chad, you there? Chad's not there. We take one call from Iowa every day. He wasn't ready. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Judah Newby, I sent you some of those tweets earlier during the commercial break from, he's an executive, he's a high-profile executive that has ties to the sports world, and he's complaining about his airline thing without outing the person, because yeah, I don't want to do that yet. Yeah. Tell me what you saw in what I sent you.
I'm still laughing. I mean, it is the definition of laughable, and it's so ironic. Like, it's someone that, by definition of the profession, of their profession, I should say, should be media savvy and is the furthest thing from it. It is capital T, capital D, tone deaf.
Read one of the tweets. Or summarize it.
All right. I love the Wi-Fi on Delta Airlines. And then the next one is, Southwest Airlines has a major problem at LA Airport. The line goes all the way to US Airways outside. The staff is rude. Not my SWA. Not my Southwest Airlines. Like, okay.
First world problems.
Big
time. I'm gonna say hashtag first world problems as you read all of these.
Yeah, that should be the
Go ahead, pick another Twitter handle. Pick another one.
hashtag American Airlines. I love how they're hashtags and not ats. You know, they're not mentions at the brands. They're just
he's figuring out Twitter.
Yeah, he's trying to figure it out. Hashtag American Airlines really knows how to kill a holiday high stuck in Miami thanks to their issues. Ugh!
Hashtag first world problems.
That's right.
Read one more.
Hashtag American Airlines equals maintenance issues all the time. Never on time. Coming from the Caribbean. Dampen great vacations. Ugh.
Hashtag first world problems. One more. Go ahead.
I love the Caribbean.
I'm enjoying this.
Hashtag American Airlines. The bonehead policy you announced regarding Admirals Club equals I will not renew membership. You probably don't care, but sometimes providing a rationale helps.
Hashtag first world problems.
Oh, boy.
My favorite is the one later.
Uh-oh. I've got my favorite, too.
Go ahead. What's your favorite?
Hashtag JetBlue is not ready for prime time. Bush League.
Mm-hmm. Bush League. Anytime you use Bush League in a review, hashtag first world problems. I love that most of these are, if you read the tweets before and after, he's like returning from the, you know, a Caribbean vacation, or he's returning from being like on the field at a, you know, one of them, he was backstage with Bruce Springsteen. And for people frustrated, just be patient with me. You'll understand why in a matter of days. You'll understand why. But it's just an example.
Mm.
Like, I didn't quite understand Twitter when I first got on it. I didn't. I had people who were like, hey, man, when I tweet at you, you're supposed to reply. I didn't know what I was doing either. But I didn't keep doing that for years. Coming up, we have our 2 o'clock hour. We're going to usher you towards...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.